Here's one of the most beloved readings from the Bible, the 23rd Psalm. Now, many people here were raised in different churches, so you might know it. So please feel free to recite it along with me, if you like. It begins, a Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me to water in places of repose. He renews my life. He guides me in right paths as befits his name. Though I walk through a valley of deepest darkness, I fear no harm, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You spread a table for me in full view of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My drink is abundant. Only goodness and steadfast love shall pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord for many long years. That's a contemporary translation, which is supposed to be much closer to the original Hebrew than the one you probably expected to hear. How does it work for you? Doesn't it just sort of roll off the tongue? You've probably heard the story about the fundamentalist who said, if King James English was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. Some religious conservatives reject any other translation of the Bible and they call for King James only, now and forever. Well, let's try the 23rd Psalm again, King James Version. Feel free to recite again. I think it'll sound right this time. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup over. There you go. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Okay, on this one, I'll side with the conservatives. King James Version has something here that the modern one doesn't. There's a music that the newer version lacks, even if it reads much closer to the original. Let's make some music now together as we sing. That's hymn number 298, Wake Now My Senses. There were more words about that magic of mingling our voices. We had a conversation yesterday a little bit about what church is for. And I talked about a little bit about sharing our stories. And then the thing that really came to mind was, what's this about is coming together to raise a stronger song, right? And if you think back to the time of Martin Luther King, think of how much songs changed our world. Raising voices together changed our world. We haven't quite seen that in some of the social movements since, but maybe we will again. You have to make choices when translating languages as different as Hebrew and English into one another. Is it Gi Tselem Aveth or Gi Tselem Moth? A valley of deepest darkness or the valley of the shadow of death? Reading the bare bones original written without vowels, you could go either way. One version spreads a table in the presence of my enemies, the other in their full view. But the original Hebrew puts that table right in their faces, which doesn't sound very nice. Both versions choose to anoint my head with oil, which is okay if I can wash it off later. But the Hebrew says that you fattened my head with fat. Now, why would God want to make me a fathead? The differences between two languages can't all be worked out so nicely, but both translations do agree on something that could sound very strange to us, finding comfort in God's rod and staff. Like many things that we learn to memorize and recite in churches or elsewhere, we might never pause to think about what that means. If someone were to say, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me," in a sexy, silky voice, it could conjure all kinds of scenes in our heads, some of which might seem to go beyond the limits of what's proper for a worship service. Shouldn't there be some constraints, even in a liberal church like ours? Well, constraints and limits are what the rod and staff image is really about. Mishan and Shebet. One is like a walking stick, used to lighten the load on your feet when hiking or to give you something to rest on when you pause. Who could fault you for using one? You've got your limits, your own internal limits. You're only human, like everyone else, and we each have our limits built in. The other one, the Shebet, is a staff like a shepherd's staff, used for guiding and prodding. I guess they used to pull vaudeville performers off the stage with that. And even the occasional whack you could give to keep the sheep on track. Rod and staff. One stands for our internal limits. The other for limits imposed from without, either softly or sometimes quite hard. Rod and staff, inner constraints and outer limits. It's wonderful when these fit together well. I think that so-called conservatives and so-called liberals agree on this in principle, that constraints and limits are important not only in our individual lives, but also for the life of society as a whole. However, they seem no closer to agreeing on the details of those constraints and limits today than they were in 1964, when Martin Luther King Jr. addressed the Methodist Student Leadership Conference in Lincoln, Nebraska. He was deeply aware of how the powerful rhetoric of the civil rights movement was changing hearts and minds. But what about the next step after the rhetoric and the songs? What about writing enforceable laws with real consequences, including sanction and punishment for breaking them? Here's King. Now, there's a myth that gets around a lot, and I hope it will not influence the church, and that is the idea that legislation cannot really play a role in this period of social transition because you've got to change the heart. We heard that a great deal during the presidential campaign, and apparently there are those who believe that you've got to change the heart and you can't change the heart through legislation. Now, I would admit that at least some of those who follow that idea are uttering a half-truth. I would agree that if this problem is to be solved ultimately, it will be necessary for men not merely to be obedient to that which can be enforced by the law, they must rise to the majestic heights of being obedient to the unenforceable. I realize that if this problem is to be solved ultimately, it will be necessary for every white person in this nation to delve down within, to search his own heart and soul, and come to see that integration is what should be because it is natural and right and not merely because the law says it. So we need a change of heart that will help us to be obedient to the unenforceable. And that will make us do the right thing because we want to, because we need to, because we can't live with ourselves if we don't. So far, it's all rod and no staff. This might seem like a good place to stop speaking, call it a day, and enjoy the beautiful memory of such beautiful words. In fact, many do just that. If you look up collections of quotes from Dr. King, you'll find those words about making hearts and minds obedient to the unenforceable. And they stop right there. Good on a greeting card. But that's not where King stopped. He went on. If this problem is to be solved ultimately, Every white person in this country must treat every Negro, a member of any minority group, right. Because at bottom, all men are brothers. I realize this. Can you feel him winding up? Getting ready to make one of those points of his that will go right to the center of the American heart. Here it comes. But I must go on to give the other side. Because I'm convinced that those who say that legislation can't deal with this issue happen to be uttering a half-truth. It may be true that you cannot legislate integration, but you can legislate desegregation. It may be true that morality cannot be legislated, but behavior can be regulated. It may be true that the law can't change the heart, but it can restrain the heartless. It may be true that the law can't make a man love me, but it can restrain him from lynching me, and I think that's pretty important. And so while the law may not be able to change the hearts of men, it does change the habits of men. He met everybody. And when you begin to change the habits of men, pretty soon their attitudes will be changed and their hearts will be changed. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Both of them. Not just the one or the other. Inner obedience and external constraint. Conversion of the heart combined with the power of the law. Dr. King spoke with the authority that made him America's minister. He was America's minister for liberal and conservative alike. Or agree or disagree, love or hate him, he touched you and touched you deeply. You couldn't just ignore his words, whether they braced you like a rod does or poked you hard like a staff. If he had stopped with the rod, changing hearts and minds without recourse to law and power, plenty of people would have been delighted. I can imagine them rubbing their hands like flies do when they're perched on a feast saying, "Hallelujah! Such sweet, delicious words. I swear, those people speak as sweetly as they sing. They can stand off to the side of the inner table to entertain us with spiritual songs and spiritual words while we gorge our fat heads." Then down comes King's staff like a fly swatter. It may be true that morality cannot be legislated, but behavior can be regulated. It may be true that the law can't change the heart, but it can restrain the heartless. It may be true that the law can't make a man love me, but it can restrain him from lynching me, and I think that's pretty important also. When you begin to change the habits of men, pretty soon their habits will be their attitudes will be changed, and their hearts will be changed. Well, for many years, in our national discourse, it seemed that liberals were all rod and conservatives were all staff. We thought of hippies as those who wanted to live according to their inner lights, free from outer rules and regulations, while conservatives upheld the social norms of a moral majority. In recent years, it's the so-called conservatives who chafe at constraints they feel have been imposed from the outside. Speech that's politically correct. Environmental regulations or restrictions on financial acrobatics. The most important constraints should be those on the ability of government to constrain individuals, right? It's important to be honest. I think of myself as a liberal, insofar as that means an agent for human freedom. But I also affirm many of the existing constraints on human activities, and I even support increasing them in some areas. Traffic laws are one. I favor much stricter enforcement of the existing laws that govern things like pedestrian right-of-way and cell phone use while driving. Is this a liberal or conservative position? I'm not sure. But wait, there's more. For years, I have nursed a secret desire to become the most hated conservative principle in the history of my son's high school. Now, it would be better for everyone if I actually knew something about school administration. But here's one thing for sure. I would do everything in my power to restrict the number of students who drove cars to school. If you need to pick up a younger sibling or take a grandparent to a doctor's appointment, then bring a note, and that's fine. If you have no bus service or a problem with mobility, we'll make a space for you to park. Otherwise, forget it. Walking is better for your health and for that of your community. That matters, and it should matter to you, and that's one of the things you should be learning. Now, speaking of community health and safety, I used to hunt when I was younger, and may someday hunt again. I don't object to using guns to hunt or for target practice, assuming that you take every precaution to keep people safe and clean up the mess you make. Our friend Richard Henderson used to tell me about his skeet shooting and going and cleaning up all those clay pigeons, taking care of that. But what about assault weapons with those high-capacity clips preferred by 9 out of 10 mass shooters? Our failure to control them has helped to change mass shooter from a rare aberration into an established short-term career. An established short-term career option. And then we have leaders who recently took time out from working on our economic crisis to draft legislation requiring that a concealed weapon permit issued in one state be honored nationwide. States' rights, right? Instead, how about requiring education and testing for would-be gun owners that's at least as rigorous as what we would demand for would-be drivers? And how about some insurance, too? Come on, Red. Is that liberal or conservative? It's fair to ask, then, how I, like many other so-called liberals, can favor constraints on the weapons people carry and yet oppose the ultimate constraint that we call the death penalty. You may have heard that Oregon's governor, Kitzhaber, recently put all executions on hold. He called the state's death penalty system compromised and inequitable, a perversion of justice, and noted that in the past few decades, only those who volunteer by waiving all appeals and court procedures have actually been executed. He said, "I do not believe that those executions made us safer. Certainly, I don't believe they made us more noble as a society. And I simply cannot participate, once again, in something that I believe to be morally wrong." A two-time murderer there in Salem, where I live, whose execution had been scheduled twice already, was furious with the governor, calling him a paper cowboy who couldn't pull the trigger. He said, "I'm going to have to get with some serious legal experts and figure out really if he can do this. I think there's got to be some constitutional violations. Man, this is definitely cruel and unusual punishment." So here's a man who has twice chosen to end a human life. And now that he's being constrained in his choice about when and how to end another one, he calls the man who dares to stop him both a weakling and a coward. That 23rd Psalm says something about goodness and mercy following us. Goodness and mercy. He's no damn good, that governor, because he's too damn merciful. And this, in the state that passed our country's first death with dignity law, allowing people with intractable medical conditions to end their own lives on their own terms. So why stop this man from dying? See, I don't think that's what the governor has really done. Instead, he's taken steps to prevent the man from using the state's legal system like he's used other weapons in the past, using it to kill, not just to die, but to pull the trigger, as he put it. I signed a number of petitions urging the governor not to allow the man to kill again, not even to kill himself. But if he should choose to die, that's another story. following the example of Mahatma Gandhi, leaders like Dr. King, Cesar Chavez, and many others have witnessed against injustice by means of hunger strikes. Some have taken their protests all the way to death. Governments often use force feeding to short circuit such protests, but if Oregon's two-time murderer should decide to engage in such an act of witness against what he feels is the governor's injustice, I would support him in his choice. If the governor ordered a feeding tube, I would sign a petition to have it taken out. Let the man take up his rod, and then the governor, his staff, and both hold tight till it's all over. Of course, I would prefer that none of these things should happen. How would they make us better, or as the governor puts it, more noble people? Well, let's leave this valley of deep darkness and the shadow of death for now. Let's go back to the table that has been spread and see if so-called adversaries can eat together side by side instead of getting in each other's faces. It seems to me wonderfully appropriate that we meet in what was once a carpenter's union hall. Carpenters do their work with a great freedom of spirit and a wonderful confidence in its value. But both rod and staff are always present for them. They must measure exactly and cut with precision. Everything must be level, plumb, and square, observing the constraints that are almost holy in this work. Fail to observe them, and doors, windows, and cabinets will never fit. The structure itself may collapse. The rod of good practice and the staff of good codes and careful inspection have to be applied again and again. Repetition is no vice. Cut once after measuring twice, and don't hesitate to do it three or four times if you need to. You've heard me mention level, plumb, and square before, and I'm sure I will again. I think that there are constraints we can all get behind, both so-called liberal and so-called conservative. I've also asked you many times to look at the seven principles on the back of your order of service, and I'm sure I'll do that again too. They're all about empowering free human beings, but they all include constraints as well. Respect for the inherent worth and dignity of every person constrains us from its opposite. Its opposite, which has been preached too often and too long in far too many churches. Justice, equity, and compassion in human relations? What are these, if not the level, plumb, and square that allow our lives to fit together well, to come together like our voices do when we sing? Together, these are the soul of beloved community. Left and right, freedom and constraint, both must work together for things to work at all. Rod and staff, they comfort us. They keep us moving forward. Let's keep them always with us. Right here, right now, left and right, balanced gracefully at the center. And that's one of the other things about what church is about, is to come in and do things beautifully together. Do things beautifully. Doesn't necessarily mean with a lot of ornament or flourish. Do them beautifully. May goodness and mercy follow us and lead us all the days of our lives so that we can live in this great house of ours, this great house that belongs to all of us together. So may it be.